Hey, Derek, quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
If you were to encapsulate Tuesday afternoon's matinee game against the Toronto Arenas.
I would not.
If you were to encapsulate your feelings about that game in a single 1990s rap lyric.
Oh, God.
What would you do with that?
A single 90s rap lyric?
Yeah.
I may have to just bring up the whole song of Who Shot You.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because apparently there's some beef there that we don't know about. And it rolls really deep. Like, I don't know if somebody on the Canes was getting busy with somebody from the Leafs and their marital issues at home. But the Leafs took out some aggression on the Canes on Tuesday. And it was not a pretty sight.
As I was watching, I was unfortunately working, so I was not able to watch the game live, but I was watching a replay of the game.
I was fortunately working and didn't have to watch the whole thing.
Have you seen Pootie Tang, Derek?
I have not seen Pootie Tang, despite your efforts coast to coast to find that on DVD.
Pootie Tang, it is Louis C.K.'s Tour de Force. I believe it is a great,
I'm no longer sold.
Yeah, I know. But... I will say this about that movie. There's a part in the movie where Pootie Tang is beating up Dirty D with his belt, and the entire time in the background you just hear na 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 and that's what I expect. I was just like, I'm like, Toronto guys just going bap, got him, bap, got him, bap, got him. And for those of you who aren't, you know, watching video, because there is no video, I actually just pulled off my Pootie Tang style belt.
Yeah.
I'm currently beating Derek and Pat about the head and neck with my belt, Pootie Tang style. God, that was a beating.
It was savage. Pat, welcome to the podcast. Would you care to talk about that beating?
No.
All right.
Well, Pat, would you like to encapsulate that beating in a 90s rap lyric?
I've been sitting here for the past 2 minutes trying to think of any 90s rap lyric. I got nothing.
Sort of
like the Canes offense.
I would have taken California Love.
I would also step Skilo. I wish our score was a little bit taller.
that's good. That's good. Tonight on the podcast, for those of you who may have heard, we are going to actually talk hockey tonight.
I'm so sorry.
Because we have Pat Clark, formerly at Canes Prospects, currently just Pat Clark. But he is all of the Pat Clark we need and more. So we've got him here in the studio with us tonight to try to break down what has been a mind-numbingly frustrating. And when I say mind-numbingly, I am referring to the amount of booze that it has taken us to get through 30-plus games of this season. And Pat's going to try to break down some of the things that are happening that aren't necessarily, shall we call them, I believe the word is good?
Yeah.
Is that the word I'm looking for, Pat?
Yeah, I think that's what it translates good. Into. Yeah.
I left my thesaurus at home, but I think good does the job, Mike.
Okay, so we're gonna hit that. We're gonna talk about the upcoming games. Canes Social Night's coming up. Buffalo's coming to town. We get to whoop that ass on Saturday night, so that's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
we're playing the Nashville Predators tonight, so if this podcast goes long enough, you may be able to get some live in-game updates.
Just the reason I came tonight.
Yeah, Pat delivering live in-game updates.
How else would you know the score of the game, Pat, if not for a podcast that airs the next day?
I wouldn't.
Well, there you go.
But also, this podcast not going to be 3.5 hours, so you're probably not going to know the final score unless we come back in and re-edit it. And I'm off work for the rest of the week and lazy, so I'm probably not going to re-edit this thing. We've got a great beer to review tonight, and tonight's bottle mix beer review. I don't know what the heck. We're going to see. We're thinking about getting a little bit weird tonight. And when I say getting a little bit weird, I'm looking at you. Picture of Justin Falk. You and I are about to have this shit out. Do you hear me, young man?
Uh-oh.
You and I are about to have words. Derek, hit that expert. Do it!
Yes,
do
sir.
It!
Yes, sir!
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike
and Pat. Thanks, Mr. Voice, as always. And thank you, at least for now, to Hayes Permar and the good folks over at Sports Channel 8 for allowing us to continue to be a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Bunch of babies over there complaining about, you know what, Derek, none of those guys listen to this podcast, but what they may not know is I actually went to Hover and registered sortschannel8.com, so that way it doesn't matter if they win the poll or we win the poll. We're ringing that siren.
I was wondering if it was going to be legally binding if we end up defeating Seward's Channel 8 in the poll, but
it is, because I'm going to redirect Seward's Channel 8 to section328.com.
Beautiful.
I know,
that's
right?
That next level thinking, and that's why we get along, Mike.
That is. We do our best here. So, and again, thanks to Bottle Mix for providing delicious beers for tonight's podcast. For the first time in a long time, I'm drinking a beer. We'll probably talk about that during the Bottle Mix beer review too. So let's pause there.
Yeah.
And I want to go back before, if we can remember, before Tuesday. Gimmick infringement. There was a 3-game win streak. Longest win streak of the season. Scott Darling's game of the year. We had turned a corner. We were great. We were about to ascend the ladder. Pat Clark, what the Jesus happened?
They got smoked. I mean,
oh, thanks for the analysis, Pat. We bring in Pat to say, oh, yeah. No, they got smoked.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. You don't have a video camera. I can't use the whiteboard that I dragged from Durham.
You can use the whiteboard. We will articulate.
The people don't get the whiteboard. people.
Do we care about the people, Derek?
No.
Some of them. Yeah. I love the people. What am I saying? Cheers to the people.
Pat. The only thing I can say is they stayed in Raleigh while all their doppelgangers went up to Toronto and played in front of a bunch of school kids.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Yeah. The Columbus game that was highly touted as Scott Darling's game of the year.
Can confirm.
It was a very well-played game. He was positionally very sound. His feet were not all over the place. He was controlled in his movements. What I know of goaltending told me that was the Scott Darling we thought we were going to get when we signed Scott Darling this offseason. I did not have the pleasure of actually watching that game live on Tuesday. So
congratulations.
So help me understand 2 goals and 2 shots and how we were behind the 8-ball from the drop of the puck. Was this on Scott? Was this on defense? Help me understand what I don't understand, Pat, because I've obviously have been watching this game for 20 years now and don't understand hockey.
This one was on Scott. No questions about it. He just, whether he had a mental fart or what, on those first 2 shots, both were stoppable. There were no major defensive breakdowns in front of him.
And we've seen this, though,
he just
right?
whiffed.
We've seen this a couple of times early in games where Scott has come out and been Cam Wardian-like by just not waking up until 10 minutes into the first period. And then by that time, we're already down 2 or 3 nothing, and we're kind of SOL.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I would actually like to see the Canes give up the first shot of the goal within, I don't know, the first 2 minutes. So the big 6-foot-6 guy isn't just standing there, bent over at the waist, doing nothing. You know, it's kind of, a big guy like that, it's kind of easier to get him into the game when he's doing something instead of getting cold.
Yeah, so on that though, like I know that after we got down 2-0, Skinner scored a goal to make it 2-1. But it really felt like that game had almost been lost when it got to 2-0. And there have been several games this year where Darling, I think, has been, you know, because he's been in net most of the games, where he's given up 1 or 2 early goals of questionable softness. And it just seems like the whole team goes, ah, shit, that game's lost. Like, what is it? I feel like, yes, the goalie may be the guy who's starting that jump off of the cliff, but the rest of the team is following suit in pure, like, Lemmingian fashion. What the hell is it with this team, do you think?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. They're not tough enough.
What?
They are not mentally tough enough. This is where you're seeing their youth and inexperience come into play right now.
So what you're telling me now is that the inconsistency that this team is currently experiencing lies squarely on the shoulders of one Justin Williams?
No, I'd say it rests solely on the shoulders of one Silver Fox.
Ooh, calling out the Anderson Cooper?
No. His slightly older brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Earlier in the season, I said there were two things that were going to hold this team back. One was the lack of a playmaking center, which they don't have.
You're correct. We do. His name's Sebastian Aho. He just doesn't know how to play center yet.
No, not yet. The other was a power play. Let's save the power play talk for later.
Okay.
Right now, I
need more beer for that talk. So yeah,
that's when we end up with a 3-hour recording here. They're so young and inexperienced that you're seeing them play down to the level of the opponent. So the opponent's dictating the pace. They're dictating the style of game that's played. That's why they did so well against Columbus Saturday night. Columbus is probably one of the 3-4 slowest teams in the league. So in a home matchup against a slow team, Canes can kind of do more of what they want. Of course, they only scored 2 goals.
So we've talked a lot about this Canes team being fast. You bring up the Columbus game. You bring up the fact that we were able...
Are they fast?
I think that's my question, because we also were one of the few teams who were able to beat Vegas on their home ice, and Vegas isn't necessarily the most fleet-of-foot team, particularly on the back end. So are we not as fast as we think we are?
They are. They just don't utilize their speed or their quickness.
Okay. So follow-up question.
Yes. You with the microphone.
Yes, thank you. Is this on Coach Bill Peters then? Because if we're not utilizing our quickness, if we're not going to our strengths, if we're allowing other teams, i.e. other coaches, to dictate this, is a coach who is in his first stint as a National Hockey League head coach, as we now see this 3 years, who has become the analytics darling, is he in over his head and his ability to not only get his players to do better than the other team, but is his book getting read by the other coaches and we're not able to adjust?
Hey, Derek, could you fire up that time machine for me? Go back through 4 years?
Yeah, hang on 1 sec. Biddle-loo, biddle-loo,
biddle-loo. All right, so first time head coach comes in. He has probably the least talented roster in the NHL.
Don't disagree.
He implements a system.
Right.
And when you hear hockey systems, it's like this high and mighty big concept. Basically, all coaches do all the same things. They all have the same breakouts. They know where to pass it to. It's just, if you think of it, a football analogy, a quarterback making reads, it's where are you looking first to make a pass? Where are you looking second to make a pass? If this skating lane isn't open to me, where do I go instead? That's all a hockey system is.
Okay.
So he implements a system that brings a bunch of structure that a bunch of ragtag guys be halfway competitive. Fast forward 4 years, they're still playing that system. He tweaks little things each year. And I think some of the tweaks he's made this year have been a little counterproductive. You're seeing things...
So what are some of those tweaks? For those of us who may not have the keen hockey eye that you have, Pat Clark, what are some of those...
I would include myself in that group.
Yes, I would as well. So... Whoops. What are some of those tweaks, and what should how would your average Canes viewer notice them or pick up on that?
All right. I recommend just paying attention to this in the arena, because it's a lot easier to see in a live environment because, well,
good tickets still available.
Half the cameraman can't follow the whole play. Watch the forwards. Whenever the Canes gain possession in their defensive zone, forwards kind of fly away and then you lose sight of them. They end up going, I don't know, all the way up to the blue line. You'll see a D-to-D pass, which if you look at any other team, if you watch any other matchup, something that you rarely see in the NHL now. So they're slowing everything down. They're letting the other team set up at the blue line, basically set up their mini iron curtain.
Right.
And you know how you asked if the team had team speed? Well, you're not seeing it because the other team's just standing there blocking them. So they're going in slow. The forwards are basically at a standstill when the puck enters the offensive zone. So okay. At this point, everything is slow. They're not using their quickness to gain an advantage on the team.
And is that why we're seeing, particularly on the power play, the use of the center ice back pass to a trailing defenseman to try to move some of that iron curtain around to potentially allow us to enter the zone with speed, even though when that works, it doesn't?
Yeah, it is. And even more so at even strength, that's why you see everything on the outside or the perimeter. There's this home plate area where you draw a triangle in front of the crease and then a square up above it. That's the prime shooting area. But because they go so slowly into the zone, or it takes so long to grab and hold onto the puck, they can never get into the middle.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I could explore here. You've talked about the system here, and that makes me think strictly on coaching, but you talked about the lack of toughness on this team. And then I wonder, is that the guys in the room? Is it the guys in the room that have letters on the front of their sweaters?
Oh, don't talk about the letters. They're meaningless in this context.
Okay. I've never been in a hockey locker room.
You get a letter.
So I've never been in a hockey locker room, so I have to ask. You can tell me no, and it's a dumb question, but I'll still ask. Or, you know, how much of it is on the guy who has constructed this roster right now with so much youth that's like, hey, this roster can and should be good 1, 2, 3 years from now versus this is a team that can compete today.
I will also add to that, or is this on potentially a fourth guy, a guy who lives in Detroit, who's hamstrung the general manager with a budget and is doing everything he can to sell the team, and all of this is going to be fixed as soon as our Lord and Savior, Tom Dundon.
I mean, it's not on the ownership, and as much as I'm kind of criticizing Francis for not getting the center that they need, I actually put all the blame on the defense at this point.
All of it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the I would say the most surprising thing about this team this year is we came in and we're like, okay, last year the defense was the strength of this team.
Derek, speaking of surprising, I've looked at the Twitters. The people have called for it. It's time.
Ooh.
For a live in-game update. Derek, let's go to you.
Ooh, last I saw, it is 4-1 good guys. End of one.
What?
Yeah, I know. Complete reversal of Tuesday night. We have scored 4 goals and allowed 1. And Nashville pulled Pekka Rinne.
Could it have been possible that we potentially scored 2 goals in our first 2 shots of the game?
Did the team switch uniforms?
To my knowledge. And yes, Mike, we did score 2 goals on our first 2 shots of the game. We were running a tip drill.
I was going to say let's just jump right in. Let's jump right in there because I think this made for interesting. And we were having some conversation earlier with Pat talking about speed and you know the team kind of slowing this down. And as we watch the first period of that game, and we'll go ahead and maybe break down some of the barriers here and say we had to stop there for a couple of seconds of the podcast and maybe record some Kane's carols.
Me.
Yeah, you guys are going to hear us sing
it's
soon.
Awful. SportsChannel8.com for all of that fun action should be up tomorrow today.
But don't vote for them.
Yeah, but don't vote for them. But so as we were recording some Kane's carols, watching the first period, I was noticing and commented to you, Pat, that it seems like our guys are not only getting to the front of the net and in the shooting lanes, but getting there in good position to be able to tip or react to anything where a puck may come loose. And while Rene was absolutely not on his game tonight, our guys were in great position. Why doesn't that happen all of the damn time?
A lot of time, we didn't see a lot of time in the own defensive zone in those early 2 shots.
Right.
They were actually getting deep. They actually got through the neutral zone. They broke down that wall at the blue line, if one even was set up. And then they had 1-2 guys in front of the net and just a simple shot. Got through what little traffic was there because Nashville's defenders didn't have time to get set, find a good skating lane, block a shot, or deflect a shot.
So to a layman such as myself, and the way you described it right now, it seems pretty simple. Get a guy with the puck. Tell that guy, put the puck in the vicinity of the net, have a guy near the net with his stick on the ice to deflect it. Is it that simple?
No, it never is.
Damn it, Pat. The answer was yes, Derek. It is that simple. We should do it every time.
Should we take another break and watch the Canes score 3 more goals and we can re-record that?
We could, but it's getting late.
Yeah, we both have kids and
that aren't in this dwelling.
That true. So it's not that simple because it's a matter of changing what the other team's doing.
Okay.
So that's a big thing that the Canes don't do very well.
Yeah.
They hold the puck. They hold the puck in the offensive zone, but they don't force the other team's defensemen to leave the front of the crease, the front of the goal area. So, enough.
So are we, you know, for lack of a better explanation, kind of waiting for the opposition to make a mistake as opposed to forcing them to make a mistake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or so it's like that tennis player you hate to watch.
Yeah. Or they're waiting for one good thing to go right and they stop thinking for a while. Okay. So first two shots on net go in tonight, I guarantee you half the locker room, they've turned off their brains. They're letting their instincts and their reactions take over, and they're not letting, oh, crap, the goalie just let in a softie,
mm-hmm.
dwell on their heads while they're sitting on the bench for 2.5 minutes before their next shift.
And so them turning off their brains is probably a good thing in this case.
Yeah. Have you ever met a real hockey player? They're not that smart.
Well, and I will say this, just as, you know, just athletes in general, you hear that all of the time. You know, you want to be able to use your instinct. You want to be able to read and react. And that's the difference between the goods and the greats. It's the guys who actually can turn off their brain, let their physical attributes and their mental instincts kind of take over. I think about, you know, a guy like Luke Kuechly, you know, very smart. They say he sees the game better than most as a middle linebacker, but he doesn't think the game out there a lot. He just goes with the flow and just reads and reacts very instinctively. And I think that you kind of probably hit it on the head there, Pat, is, you know, the guys came into this game knowing that it was a perform or else type of game, I would suspect, after an 8-1 drubbing at the hand of the arenas. And I don't know. I mean, we've still got a couple of periods to see how this thing plays out, but I'm feeling pretty positive right now, Derek.
Yeah, I am too, but I kind of wanted to go back to where we went before the live in-game update about the defense being the weak link on this team, and we saw it on the goal that Nashville scored tonight, Pat, that you brought up a little bit, that Slavin and Pesci got flipped on which sides they're playing. I'd like to hear from you what you see as far as the defense not playing as well this season as they did last year. Is it just shit happens? Is it Falk playing with a younger guy like Fleury and the different pairings outside of Pesci and Slavin are all messed up? But Pesci and Slavin aren't the same shutdown force they were before. But is that also a matchup thing? Like, what are the variables in play for why our defense isn't what they were last year?
It's all of the above. So you had two full seasons of Slavin and Pesci for opposing coaches to dissect and break down ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lack of an experience, you know, in a partner with Falk, whether it had been Hanifin or whether it's been Hayden Fleury. So you now have, you've taken away this defensive asset in Ron Hainsey, who typically played with Falk, who, in my opinion, kind of hindered Falk's game a little. But what we're seeing is Falk isn't out of position as much, but he's not allowed to join the rush, join the play, allowing him to actually get good shots from closer in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw a couple commercials during the first period in between recording takes where Falk was shooting from the tops of the circles inside the faceoff dots.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing that right now out of him. There's a reason why his point total is as low as it is.
And he has, what, one goal on 90 shots this year?
Thereabouts.
I'm no scientist, but that's not a good percentage.
Nope. You know, and in the pregame show, Fox Graphics team was flashing Nashville's, you know, defensive scoring. They showed three guys with, like, 15-plus points, which they're not world beaters, but they're getting enough defensive contributions on the offensive side of the game. And outside of Hanifin, no one has more than 7 or 8 points before going into tonight. So they're getting hemmed in their own end.
Mm-hmm.
They're not passing the puck up quickly enough for, you know, a number of different reasons. The other team is adjusting their forecheck, so they're not allowing them, you know, clean outlets. They're not getting those nice, here's a quick pass that allows, you know, a Slavin or a Pesci to jump up into the play, create a 2-on-1. You know, we saw that a lot in the first 10 games where everything's kind of batshit because no one has their stuff together. Everyone's changed just enough to, you know, throw a coach's strategy or plan off the rails.
You know what's off the rails, Pat?
I mean, where do you want me to start?
Justin Fox game. Damn it.
Are we going there?
Ruh-roh, Scoob.
Yeah, we're going there.
Ooh, all right. Mike just took his hat off. That means business.
Dear Justin, it's me, Mike. It's been a while. We haven't talked a lot recently.
It's been a while.
Bad things have happened since the last time we've talked. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know you personally. I don't know if, you know, maybe you're having trouble folding a fitted sheet. I don't know if maybe you forgot to get your oil changed and your car manufacturer is giving you hell for a warranty claim you now want to make. I don't know if, you know, maybe you decided to, you know, get a new pair of gloves and maybe they just don't fit as well as they used to and it's distracting to you. I don't give a rat's ass less about any of that, Justin, because I bought a 27 jersey. I paid good money for a Justin Falk lithograph to hang here in the Section 328 worldwide headquarters. You are an Olympian. You're a multi-time All-Star. You are my captain. You are my captain. Watch yourself, young man.
Half the time.
And Justin, you're better than this. I've seen you turn the wrong direction too many times. The state of Minnesota is sad watching you. Team USA Hockey is sad watching you. Justin, imagine if Gary Bettman were not the evil, horrible person he was and there was actually a Team USA for the Olympics this year. You would not only not be in consideration, but one of the guys who has forced you down to the third pairing, Noah Hanifin, may get more consideration than you. Justin Falk, I don't know what's going on with your life. I don't know what's going on with your game. I don't know what's going on the ice. I don't know what's going on off the ice. You know what I do care about? I care about the fact you're supposed to be the damn leader of this squad. And if you don't get your head out of your ass and start playing with a little bit of fire on the ice and making sure these guys follow you around where you're supposed to go. I get it. I get the fact. It's all Pesci and Slavin, right? No, but Falk is supposed to be the damn leader of this team. He was the guy who was anointed. He was the guy who came in here, and he's the young buck. He's the guy everybody's going to pull aside. How about you pull somebody? How about you actually do what you are paid to do? You have a contract. You wake up every morning. I know this game is hard. Damn it, I work hard too. You get your ass on that ice and you start performing like you do, or I will get my ass down there who I can't skate and probably get my ass beat. But I will tell this to you face to face, Justin Falk. You are disappointing me, and I swear to God, if you continue to do it, your ass is out of here.
So, Derek, you want to know what the difference between Falk is this year and last year?
Pat. And can you hold me while you tell me?
Yeah. Come on over.
All right.
I'm going to take a sip.
He's just not putting up points. He's a slow starter defensively. He's the weakest skating defenseman on the team.
Even Kloss?
Even when the Kloss is in session.
Ooh.
But that shouldn't be. He was a good skater previously.
Was he?
He was a decent skater. You know hockey better than I.
Was he?
It seemed like he was.
I mean, he was decent enough to skate in the NHL.
He was decent enough to skate for Team USA in the Olympics. He's decent enough to be a multi-time All-Star.
Meh. He's just not putting up points.
I tell you what. If, like, let's talk about this. what value do I bring to Section328.com?
Great question, Mike.
Besides trying to organize this podcast once a week or so, not a damn thing. So if I stop trying to produce this podcast and I tell Derek, yeah, Derek, why don't you and Pat try to record it over Skype on your phones? We don't have, you know, halfway decent audio equipment. What the hell am I bringing to the team? Nothing. And you know what would happen to me? I would get sat down and told that I need to straighten my ass up and do something right or get the off the ship. And you know what? That's what I'm saying to Justin Falk right now. Get your head straight, kid. Work harder. Whatever it is, fucking figure it out.
You know what Justin needs to do?
Get a damn job. Get off my lawn.
Well, he has a job, Mike.
Get off my lawn.
It's a pretty well-paying job. I don't know if you know this. You can actually look up how much he makes if you want. But what he needs to do is he needs to talk to Elias Lindholm. And he needs to talk to Elias Lindholm about what his life was like the week after he heard you go off on him. Because I'm betting Elias Lindholm had to just, like, curl up, maybe eat a pint of Haagen-Dazs or, I don't know, some egg liqueur or whatever the hell he's going to have from Sweden and sit there and really ponder his life's choices. And he put it together last season after you told him to fly right. Maybe Justin needs to do the same, Mike.
I hope he does.
Maybe Justin needs to do the same.
I hope he does, because I tell you what, I did something that I hadn't done in months, Derek. I took my ass to Moe's today. For those of you who didn't see it on Facebook Live, I went to the Moe's where Justin Falk records his famous queso, queso, queso commercial, and I sat down in the very booth where those poor kids were delivered queso from Justin Falk, and I ate...
He wasn't giving them cheese because he scored a goal. He was doing it out of charity.
I ate...
Are we sure that was cheese he gave them, even?
I don't know what it was. But for the first time, the last time I was in there was because my tiny tot wanted to go see Falker. So when they were recording the commercial, we went up there and we got a little picture of him and Justin. He was really excited. And we hadn't been back to that Moe's since. So I went back there today and I said, maybe me going back here will spark something. You know, I feel like I've had a connection with Justin.
Maybe you've undone the curse that you laid down upon that Moe's earlier.
I don't know what happened. Maybe if Justin scores tonight, there will be, you know, rejoicing and queso. Let's go live for an in-game update. Pat, live in-game update.
Oh, I see Pat is, I see Pat has chosen the NHL app, which is a really poor choice.
I'm going to go to the score app.
Still 4-1 thanks to the Score mobile app, which has loaded in a third of the time as the NHL app. Hey, Mike, can we put the NHL app on notice for your next rant?
No, because my rant will be over by the time it's done loading, and it's awful.
Okay.
Still waiting.
For what it's worth, Pat is still waiting. Pat, can you let us know when that score loads?
Oh, hey, just loaded. Still 4-1. I think.
Wow.
I don't know.
Derek, what was the last play there in that game?
So how about just the time left? I've got 8:52 in the second.
Hey, they got one thing right on their website.
All right.
Or digital product.
Yeah, something. That's anyway, bad.
Where the hell are we, Mike? You mentioned it earlier. You're the guy in charge of this podcast, and we thank you for that. Tell us where we are, because we've gotten really off track. Listening to your rant about Justin Falk, which was spot on, and he needs to get it in gear. Yes, Pat?
I have an idea. Okay. You talked about Justin Falk being this team's all-star.
Okay.
Over time. So
let's talk about that.
I'll just throw this question to you guys. I think you already know my answer. Since they're not going to the Olympics, and they're actually having an all-star game in Tampa, who's this team's all-star?
I think it's pretty easy.
I do too. I know who it is.
Derek, go ahead.
Justin Falk.
No.
It's going to be Justin Falk, but it shouldn't be. Because there are too many good forwards in the Metropolitan Division to let Jeff Skinner be the all-star for this team, which he should be. And if it's not Jeff Skinner, it should be Aho. And if it's not Aho, it should be Teravainen. And
but,
if it's not
but,
him, it should be
wait,
Hanifin.
Wait.
But it's not going to be Hanifin because he doesn't have the cachet that Justin Falk does.
What division do they play in?
The Metropolitan?
Yeah, it's not going to be a forward. So it's automatically going to be a defenseman.
Right. And so it's going to be Justin Falk because Slavin...
Wait. Which defenseman has the most points on the team?
Hanifin.
Yeah. You think the NHL really thinks about these things?
No, which is why they're not
going to... They just point at a piece of paper and say...
They're not
going
to look at stats.
Him.
They're going to say, hey, here is a multi-time all-star in Justin Falk. Put him in. That's even lazier than looking at stats this season.
Yeah, but what's his plus minus?
It's not that bad.
And what's his what's his hit? How many hits does he have?
Several.
Really?
He's got to have at least 4 on the season, right?
So when the puck hits his stick, is that constitute as a hit? Because everything wobbles and goes all over the place.
So, okay, Mike, who's this team's all-star?
It should be, again, I agree wholeheartedly with Pat that we have a 0.0 chance of it being the appropriate choice, which would be Jeffrey Darnell Skinner, I believe is his middle name.
Evander.
Jeffrey Evander Skinner. But it should absolutely be five. You take out the first 3-4 weeks of the season when Noah Hanifin was hurt and could not put any pressure in on his inside right skate blade. Thank you, Pat, for pointing that out to me. Noah Hanifin has been the best defenseman on this team for quite some time now. Offensively beginning to produce. Defensively holding his own. Again, he is... Noah Hanifin,
when our powers combined,
is Justin Faulk this season. He hasn't been great defensively. He has been there. He's had a few issues, but he's our scoring defenseman.
Noah Hanifin's worst skating day is Justin Faulk's best.
Oh, Noah Hanifin is a much, 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 much better skater.
Pat.
Can confirm.
Who's our all-star?
It's Noah Hanifin.
But, okay, so that's who you guys think should be. Who is going to be our all-star?
It's going
to
be Noah Hanifin.
You think it is going to be Hanifin?
So it's not
going
to be a forward. We know that.
Right. We were all in agreement on that. Yes? Mike? Yes. Pat? Yes. Yeah. Okay, good.
Falk's going to decline if he is offered.
He didn't decline the C.
That's a conversation that happens in the room. So, yeah, you don't decline that.
Yeah, and eventually he used that in some contract negotiation down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to go somewhere a little warmer this time in January than Tampa.
You think he doesn't want to put another notch on his all-star belt for his agent to say, give me that Skrilla in a couple years?
Well, hey, good point. Who actually has to sign a new contract next year?
Noah Hanifin.
So
is he going to get the nod before Faulk? Because it's not up to the player. Like, obviously the agents are going to push for it.
That's a really good point. Is there any chance that, and again, I'm going down a complete collusion rabbit hole here, that Ron Francis actually is campaigning for Justin Faulk so that That'd way Noah amazing. Hanifin...
He might as well send Dahl back. You know?
So that way Noah is not an all-star because that is something that he would be able to get more leverage in a contract negotiation out of?
Look, we saw the deal that Slavin got without being an all-star last year when he deserved it more than Faulk. So I don't think that is going to come up. Faulk is going to be this team's all-star. Put that in ink.
Ooh. Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Are you willing to bet on it?
Depends what the bet is. I'm not going to agree to a bet before I know the terms. I know you better than that, Mike.
Video podcast in short shorts and a Doug Christie jersey.
Oh, I'm a tall man. Short shorts is a bad, bad idea.
I know. The people want an answer, Derek.
The people don't want that answer, though.
Hey, let's leave it to the people.
Okay.
Should Derek take the bet of doing a video podcast in a Doug Christie jersey? And short shorts, should Justin Faulk not be the all-star? We'll let the people vote.
Now, here's one thing, though. Can I put this out there?
Okay.
Is there an exception for injuries?
I think we'll be reasonable here, yeah. Right?
Okay. Just wanted to throw that out.
We'll let Pat be final judge and jury.
Okay, so Mike, if we're going to do this, though, you need to stake your bet on who it's going to be, and then we can have terms for Mike, terms for Derek, and we'll figure this out.
Okay, I'm going to go with Pat because Pat's smarter than I.
You're going with Hanifin?
I'm going Noah freaking Hanifin. Because you know what? Justin Faulk's not going to get his shit straight by the time they...
I don't think he's going to either. But yeah, I don't think that matters.
I think he's going to get it straight. But, I mean, you saw what happened with Lindy last year. Just saying.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, we can figure out
the holler parameters. At us on Twitter. What should the terms of the bet be between me and Mike?
I like that. So let's look a little bit forward. You know, it looks like we've got right now live in-game update. Let's go to our Score mobile app here real quickly.
Hold on, Mike. I'm going to load up the NHL app on CompuServe.
6:20 left in the second. Carolina Hurricanes leading 4-1. Currently on a power play. Austin Watson receiving a 2-minute penalty for interference. Interference, that is when the referee crosses his hands in an X, not to encourage you to suck it, but because it was actually interference. Let's talk about Saturday. It's Thursday. We're recording this podcast. It's going to go out live to most folks on Friday morning. Saturday is going to be Kane Social Night, December 23rd. Hashtag Kane Social. Section 328 going to be hosting a lot of new friends, pregame tweet up, emoji like handout things, a social snack pack before the game. I don't know what that is. And then
I hope it has Dunkaroos, because I'd love to like dip some graham cracker cookies into frosting.
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be good.
And then anybody who buys the social media game ticket through the social media night kind of ticket link is also going to get a group post-game selfie with a member of the Carolina Hurricanes team, as well as you get to see and enjoy with us the Carolina Hurricanes whooping that ass on the Buffalo Sabres. Just whooping it, going to town.
Also, you can control one other thing you're going to see that night.
Ooh.
If you go to Twitter and you go to section underscore 328.
Respect the underscore.
You'll see a pinned tweet at the top of our timeline. There's a poll there. You can vote on it. I hope many of you have already voted on it.
I see that
over like 800 plus people have already voted in this poll to decide who is going to sound the siren to welcome the Canes back to beat the hell out of Buffalo for the second period of the game on Saturday. Is it going to be Mike Flanagan, yours truly, Derek Ressler, or is it going to be the chaps at Sports Channel 8?
Nice chaps.
We love Sports Channel 8, but this ain't their thing. This is our thing, damn it. So vote for Section 328. The Hurricanes have endorsed this. This is not just us with a pipe dream. It is between us and Sports Channel 8. So vote for 328, and you'll get to see either Mike or me sound the siren, hopefully doing a good job at it and not like the woebegone siren that sometimes happens. Like, one of us better give it hell.
Oh, yeah.
Whichever one of us wins, better give it hell, or else we will receive a Justin Faulkian-style rant.
I tell you what, I'm going to make a challenge right now to the folks at the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm going to have a conversation with them about this tomorrow.
Could I have them reinforce the siren?
Nope. If we win, I'm going to ask them to not keep it in the club level. I think for the first time ever, the siren comes to 328, and from the rafters, you finally hear that hurricane siren.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
I have one word for you. Sploosh.
And
that's a beautiful idea.
And Rashad McCants is not here.
No, he's not. Thank goodness for that. So, come out Saturday. It's going to be a great time for everybody. Right now in the poll, thanks to Pat Clark, who is not using the NHL app for this, we have 879 votes left. And as of 9:30 on Thursday evening, there is a day and 18 hours left. So get in and vote. You can only vote once. So tell your friends to vote in this too. Rig it in our favor. We are totally cool with that. We have 64% of the vote. That's a good lead, but no lead is too safe in internet polling. We know that to be true.
We do know that to be true. But let's talk a little bit about this game Saturday night. We've seen the Buffalo Sabres once within the last week or so.
Mike, I am contractually obligated to say F Buffalo.
Buck Buffalo. I completely get it. We went up there. We beat them in what was not a beautiful game. Jack Eichel, horrible skin, good at hockey. And Jack Eichel is going to be coming to town. Evander Kane's coming to town.
What's his stride X for?
I don't even know, man. Oof. But I'm hoping that this team can really just, again, start to string together a couple of wins, because as of right now, it looks like the Canes have a goodly chance of winning this game tonight in Buffalo, and then they're going to come home, and then a win against Nashville, win against Buffalo, and then you've got a nice little string of home games here that you could start to string together, potentially a little bit of a winning streak, but there's some tough teams coming. Pittsburgh's coming to town.
Are they tough?
Montreal's coming.
Are they tough?
All right, like, seriously, 2 months ago, that looked like, oh no. Pittsburgh and Montreal in the same week after Christmas? That's that's two tough teams. And now you're like, are they?
Is Michael Layton going to make his Penguins debut against the Hurricanes?
Oh, that would be delicious.
Michael Layton, he who has played 8 games since he took his team to the Stanley Cup Final. In 2009, I believe.
11.
Yep. One of those days.
It's still been 6 years.
It's been a while.
He's averaged basically a game a year since playing at the pinnacle of his sport.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it is not.
So, Pat, what should we expect to see from this Carolina Hurricanes team? Will we be? Will we make adjustments against Buffalo based upon what we saw up at the Niagara Center last week?
3-1 win.
3-1 win as opposed to a 3-2 win.
Correct.
3-1 Carolina Hurricanes, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll be a two-game winning streak.
For this team, yes, that's a winning streak.
Two games is a winning streak. You know, while we may not like to talk about it, it is. What's wrong with Buffalo? I mean, for a team that was tanking so hard for McDavid and supposedly, you know, they've got some decent core players. You know, well, Kane and Eichel and Ristolainen. And
O'Reilly.
They've got some. You take Ryan Matt O'Reilly.
Molson. What happened to Matt Molson?
Matt Molson is dead.
No, he's still alive. Just not very good at hockey.
No, his career is dead, though.
Matt Molson is dead. I mean, like, what would you say if we got Ryan O'Reilly on this team?
Me.
Really?
Really.
So I mean, think about what our face-off percentage would do.
Yeah, Kane's already a top five face-off team.
I know
right
our
now.
Dunkin' Donuts structural integrity percentage would go down.
Ah, good point.
But I remember, Mike, like 2-3 years ago on this podcast, you and I were both saying, fear the 17-18 Sabres.
Yeah.
Boy, were we wrong. Yet again, proof, we don't really know hockey.
Not much.
That's why Pat's here. Pat knows hockey.
Yeah, but
we know talking.
I think 2 years ago I would have agreed with you. Here's the problem.
Damn it.
Other than Eichel, they've missed on every draft pick.
I mean,
they really have.
Yeah. Sam, what is it? Reinhardt?
Reinhart's a good player. And
a
couple weeks ago, somebody asked me on the 328 bag column, you know, which players I would try and pick from Buffalo. I'd pay a hefty price for Reinhardt because he's actually a number two center. Mm-hmm. And he can actually produce 40 points with some talent around him. 2 years ago, I think a black hole opened up near whatever they're calling the arena now, some other bank name, and the scoring for all their players just plummeted.
That's a shame. Couldn't happen to a nicer town.
You know what? I mean, it is a nice town.
Kyle Okposo was a thing. We mentioned this earlier. Like, how great of a hockey player is Jonathan Tavares when, you know, Kyle Okposo was, you know, going to make all of the money, left, went to Buffalo, and now he's dead. Jim, and now he's playing with Anders Lee and Josh Bailey. And while I love Anders Lee, and
I'll take one.
Yes, I would love that guy on my team. I would much prefer Jonathan freaking Tavares.
I think that dream is dead.
Yeah. I mean, congratulations to our friend Dan Saraceni at Culture of Losing on the Twitters, but he runs one of the Islanders blogs. Congratulations to those guys for finally getting an arena back on the island, and we'll be able to finally see some Islanders hockey, but it's kind of killed it. Derek, are you wanting to fight like the Jets or...
No, I was just wondering, I'm reading, like, we still have good cheap mail questions coming in.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know if we wanted to get to those.
Oh, do we? I mean, let's see. I mean, we're kind of some far into the podcast. Because
I feel like we've talked a lot of hockey. It may be because we had that break in which we recorded some carols. But I feel like we need to get to some cheap mail here.
You know what, Derek? We are pretty well far into the podcast. So let's do this, shall we? Let's get to some cheap mail. Cheap mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. Pat, show up for practice next time. Jesus.
Sorry, guys.
Guys, first question from Rally City Sports at R City Sports, and I'll open this up to both of you. Did Stempniak cross Peters in a bad way, hence his absence? Did he try to cut in on his Connecticut water money?
No.
Mike?
No. Isn't Stempniak still, like, dead? Isn't he hurt?
I think so. I think he's hanging out with Matt Molson's career.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's officially hurt. He's on the IR, so that's it. Derek, this one's from our buddy Peak of Good Living. How many points in the standings did the Leafs lost cost us?
I think I got this one. Two.
Two is the correct
two.
Answer.
Yeah, I believe two is two the answer is on that one.
I'll keep going here then. From Camel City Caniac, I have to assume that this person is in Bowie's Creek.
I was going to say Winston, isn't that a thing?
Is that Camel City? I don't know.
I was also going to guess like someplace in Afghanistan.
potentially. Why not just tank the season? I know the top pick is no lock, but look at what Matthews did to accelerate Toronto's rebuild. Is it time to tank, boys?
It is not time to tank. There is not a franchise, like, guaranteed franchise-changing player like McDavid or Matthews out there, and this market cannot sustain a tank. So, no. No, it's not time to tank.
Here's the thing. You don't need a franchise-changing player. You need a number one center that can join the league next year. Mm-hmm. So, like, that next-tier player, like a Barkov.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a Ryan Johansson. Someone that goes high in the draft and plays within 18 months of being drafted,
mm-hmm,
and can be a center. Canes have never nailed that, and that's the one thing I still think is holding them back.
Party Nachos. Is not that guy.
No, he's Stahl's replacement.
Mm.
Okay.
All right, so we'll see him in 2038 when Stahl's contract runs out. Here we go. In the spirit of the holidays, gentlemen, from our friend Kirio at Caro Kane NC, what gifts would you like to get from and or give to the Canes?
Pat, I'll allow you to go first here, sir.
Hmm. What gifts would you like to get from or give to the Canes? It could be one player. It could be the team en masse. The choice is yours.
I still want to give them John Tavares.
That's a great gift.
You know, he was,
it is the gift that keeps on giving.
He was a little coy, you know, in the press conference yesterday, talking about his contract situation, you know, immediately following the press conference for their new arena. So, you know, there a little part of the flame of my shrinking heart, you know, is still there.
All right.
I know the dream is dead, but the flame isn't out.
If I could give a gift to the Carolina Hurricanes, I'd give them a game on my couch. I know this game is hard, but as you and I and Pat sit here and watch this game, and as we sit here with a three-year-old who has asking his mom to play ball hockey with him, and that's all he wants to do from sun up to sundown, and he wears his jersey, and all he talks about is Falker and Skinner and Aho. I know these guys, it's a job, and it's different, but, you know, I want them to see the view of what it's like to have been loyal to this team for 19 or 20 seasons now, but nine seasons of not having seen post April 5th hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know the cold blackness that has seeped into our hearts, and I want that to fuel them for the rest of this season.
You know, it would be a good gift. I know this wasn't the question, but to give to the fan base.
Yes.
A little Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind, you know, treatment. Let's wipe away 3, 4, 5 of those years. Yeah.
There's only one guy who can do that, and his name is Tom Dundon.
Tom Dundon.
Tom Dundon.
So
Tom
the question did say, what gifts would you like to get from and or give to the Canes? And the gift that I would like to get from the Canes is a ticket for a game on April 16th. Because if we're playing in April 16th, we're in the playoffs, and that's all I want is to get in.
Just get in.
Just get in.
Also, and you'd like to have that ticket signed by Tom Dundon.
Yes, I would.
Tom Dundon.
Mike?
Yeah, let's go back here. And how about which current or former Hurricanes players makes the best, and by best, I mean creepiest, because that's all they're good for anyway.
Ooh.
Elf on a shelf.
I mean, there's one answer for this, right?
So which current or former Hurricanes player makes the best elf on a shelf?
Sergei Samsonov.
Ooh, oh, that's good. Okay, Sergei Samsonov. Derek, do you have an idea?
I mean, this isn't all he's good for, but he's our magic hockey elf. Kind of got to go with Aho. He is the most elven of the current Canes.
I like that. But I'm going to, so if having a three-year-old, I might have an elf on the shelf floating around the house somewhere. And if you ever look at an elf on a shelf, they have ridiculously long, skinny legs. as compared to all of the other portions of their body.
Ooh, I have a guess.
So if I'm going to go with current or former Hurricane that would make the best and or creepiest elf, I've got to go with former Checker and former Hurricane and former Hershey Bear, Joey Mormina.
Oh, the baby giraffe.
Yes, Joey Mormina, baby giraffe on skates. For those of you who don't know him, look up Joey Mormina. He played a few games with us. I believe he was 7'9".
Something like that.
Off skates.
7'11 with the afro. From our buddy Al Hood at Albi Hood, he has known the rule. If you ask us an F, marry, kill question that doesn't deal with people, we are going to ask it.
Good job, Al.
F, marry, kill, eggnog, hot toddy, hot cocoa with peppermint schnapps.
Ooh, good call.
That's a good seasonal beverage question. F, marry, kill, eggnog, hot toddy, hot cocoa with peppermint schnapps.
I think that one's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I am marrying hot cocoa with peppermint schnapps because it doesn't matter how young or old you are. That's good. Mm-hmm. Peppermint schnapps will also settle your tummy. Mm-hmm. If you've had a little bit too much to drink. So, yep. if you overindulge a little bit, peppermint schnapps, in my younger days, I used to actually do shots of peppermint schnapps between my cheap beers because I knew it would keep things down. Don't ask how I know that, but I know these things. I know. I am rolling deep in the sheets with that hot toddy because that's how I roll. Former Fat Mike. Fat Mike would have been all up in that eggnog.
But you made a good nog.
I make a good nog, but after having slightly reformed myself and realizing that what I was ingesting at a holiday party was probably somewhere on the tune of 6,000 calories worth of eggnog.
Yeah.
After I put in all of the goodness, which was basically Maker's Mark and 2 or 3 cans of whipped cream.
Yes.
I should probably stay away from that. So I'm gonna have to kill the eggnog. I'll miss it. But hot toddy for life.
I can't disagree with anything there.
I mean, that's the right answer.
Okay, yeah. So I have a little bit of shame to bring upon myself here.
Ooh.
I've never had a hot toddy.
We can fix that before you leave.
I know we could. The state of North Carolina would probably be better if I didn't do that. So with that said, I have to kill the hot toddy because I don't know how good it is. And I'm not like JR. I'm not going to commit to something that I don't know if it's good or not.
But have you ever had bad eggnog?
No. I've been fortunate to not have good eggnog because I've heard enough stories of people who've had bad eggnog that I only have had eggnog from people whose drinking mixing I trust.
See, going in blind, I think you would reverse your decision.
I probably would, but I've only had eggnog from guys like Mike and others who I know are a skilled barman. So for that reason, I am going to F the eggnog because it's not something I want all that often. As opposed to marrying something. So like, yeah, I'll have this once here. I'm committing myself to the hot cocoa with peppermint schnapps. Cause that's just comforting. It's winter in a cup right there. So that's my answer.
Okay.
Sorry, hot toddy.
No. Two more questions, Derek. Last one from me. This one from Blue Liner 27, our buddy Peter. I believe the Canes deeper issue is more about culture than anything. What say you?
Step on the logo.
Ooh, you're saying somebody stepped on the logo and that's
no,
why
no,
happening?
I'm saying let's just step on the logo because F hockey culture.
Thank you.
Ooh, so you're completely disagreeing with Blue Liner 20.
I am. I like Peter a lot, but I disagree. I think hockey culture has kind of become
Ooh, cheat mail culture. End of the second period. Carolina Hurricanes 4, Nashville 1. Canes will come back to the third period on the power play.
Canes are also outshot 12-5 in the second period.
Ooh, nice job by Cam Ward pitching a second period shutout.
So and you're I saying bet... he's made a festive save?
Ooh. Okay.
I thought about making another joke about somebody in the announce booth pitching something else, but I'm going to step away from that for Cam Ward playing well. Yeah, hockey culture, it's just become this thing that I don't really care for. So yeah, step on the logo on the carpet. If you care about it, put it on the ceiling. I'm just not a fan.
Okay. I'm going to disagree a little bit, Derek. I think the culture of complacency may have made its way into 1400 Edwards Mill Road. I don't know if it's hockey culture. I think it's more along the lines of the culture of what goes on in the building. And this goes back to the rant that I had a month or so ago about the lack of energy in the building, the lack of people seeming to care. Anybody who wanted to take an extra step to do what was, you know, kind of, and again, I'm going to go full business. If you've ever, you know, you want to take something from good to great, you know, you take any of those experiences from good to great, it takes a lot of effort.
You say they need a blue ocean strategy or something?
You know, if they were to bring in a Six Sigma expert, I'm sure they could figure out how to fix the power play.
Hey, Don Waddell, what color's your parachute? I'll hang up and listen.
Derek, I'm gonna move your cheese now and hand this off to Pat.
All right, so I don't disagree with what you just said, but the problem with hockey culture and cultures in general, it's not about changing anything. It's about keeping the status quo. And this team, in hockey in general, and I could rant on for 3 hours, but no one wants to hear that right now. I'm sure someone's driving to a holiday party somewhere. Hockey doesn't want to advance forward. They do not want to be progressive. It just wants to be money grubbing, grab what they can, doing as little as they can to change anything. Because you know what? Making money hand over fist while doing less and less work, it's kind of ideal. It's smart and
sounds good to me.
But it doesn't advance the team forward. For all the crap that Oilers GM, you know, Peter Chiarelli got for the Taylor Hall, Adam Larson trade, he had his hands tied. The one smart thing he actually did, believe it or not,
trade Joe Thornton.
Well, something about being a Bruins GM and smart just don't go hand in hand. Yeah. You know, I think a shoe throwing a man did something once upon a time. Anyway, he had his hands tied, but rather than being passive and holding on to this asset, he did the best he could. He cut his losses because at some point, when you're hemorrhaging, you just got to deal with it. So he got what he needed. And right now, I think the Canes are kind of at that point where they're just going to have to make a deal, probably take a loss on the trade and the incident analysis to kind of mix things up from one of their longest standing players.
Justin Falk.
Well, that'll be fun. I look forward to that a lot. Thanks, Pat, for the ray of sunshine we needed here.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Last question from our friend Matt Peterson at Matt Peterson PE. Is there a hashtag buy the merch curse? Falk, yeah. Redvolution. Great Scott. Raskin Stempy, Turbo Goals, all suspiciously have gone downhill after they've gotten their own shirt in the 328 merch store. Is there a curse, Mike?
I just want to say to Matt Peterson that there is no curse, because what he failed to mention is that there is also a Skinner Chalky Milk and Smiles tour shirt. Jeff Skinner continues to produce. I also would like to remind Matt Peterson that I'm pretty sure his wife can squat and deadlift more than he can, because I've seen the Instagram video, and you should be ashamed for pointing fingers at us for saying that we were the guys who actually did that, when it's on you for not being a good enough fan, and really it's on you for supporting Eric Staal that much for all of those years. So really, I think you should feel shame, Matt. Shame.
I would like to say that the views of Mike Flanagan do not necessarily speak for the views of the entirety of Section 328. This has been an editorial piece from Mike Flanagan.
If Andrea Peterson, Matt Peterson's wife, had posed this question, I probably would have been much more kind about it. But I believe Matt can go take a long drive off of a short dock.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Curse that.
But both of them are delightful people, and if there is a curse, I think we should maybe look into a reverse curse shirt.
Ooh.
So maybe we can, you know, head to the lab, cook a little something up, maybe, and see what we can do.
I ate at Moe's today in an effort to try to reverse the curse. I'm all for reversing curses. That was earlier.
Get them bubble guts.
speaking of dim bubbles, what's in that glass you're drinking, Derek?
Oh, it's deliciousness in this glass, Mike.
Well, tell us about it.
I would love to. So I know you stopped by Bottle Mix earlier because you hopped on Facebook Live talking to Dustin about picking out beers, and you picked out a beer that you haven't had in quite a while.
All right. So I
know you don't usually drink beer on the podcast, so I want to give you this little bit of time to shine on this.
You hear that, folks? That's the greatest beer you'll ever drink.
Nah.
This is Evil Twin Brewing's Even More Jesus. It is my favorite beer ever. I've pretty much given up on beer since I have kicked Fat Mike to the curb, but it is the holiday season. I am indulging a little bit, and I said if I was going to indulge a little bit, I wanted to have my favorite beer of all time. What is even more Jesus? I'm glad you asked. It is now available in cans, as opposed to being available in just bombers. It was like a $13, $14, $15 bomber at one point. It's now a sub $4 tall boy
can. Yeah, four-ish or so, whatever. Yeah.
When you pour it in the glass, the head is like bubbly motor oil. The beer may be motor oil, but it is the best tasting, most delicious, suck the light out of the room.
Delicious. It is blacker than the bezel on both of your monitors.
Yes. Actually, yeah, you're right. As I hold it up, it's boozy on the nose. It's
what I call a knife and fork beer because it's almost hard to drink. It's like a cookout milkshake of beers in its thickness.
Try it now. Try it now. It's warmed up to room temperature.
All right,
and now it leaves. I know you guys don't like to hear me talk about mouthfeel, but this might be the best mouthfeel beer you'll ever have. Go to Bottle Mix. 1 mile south of 540, 3 miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall on Creedmoor Road in the Brennan Station Shopping Center. Buy Even More Jesus. Derek's about to tell you about the official Section 328 beer of the week. I'm sure that it's excellent. It's not Even More Jesus good. Go buy Even More Jesus.
So Mike and I don't agree on most beers, and we don't agree on Even More Jesus because that beer is like, it's too dense for me. There's like this, I don't know, it's almost like a beef jerky kind of taste to those beers when they're just that rich of a stout. I don't love that beer.
Derek prefers Miracle-Gro.
I do, but I'm not drinking that tonight. So I'm sticking with a beer. I walked in, I told Dustin, I'm like, look, I love the seasonal beers, but I've almost burned myself out on the Christmassy style beers. It's near Christmas, and let me get something that's good for cold weather. We've got some cold coming up in the next week, so what's good for this? He said, hey, grab the Full Steam Coffee is for closers. And I was like, hell yeah, I love that beer. I've had it before. I would love to drink this and give it a proper review. So from our buddies at Full Steam, their Coffee is for Closers is inspired by an iced coffee. And let me pull up their website here. They say it's inspired by iced coffee. It has roasted coffee beans, milk sugar, hints of chocolate, and toasted malt made with Muddy Dog Sumatran coffee.
Ooh.
I don't know where Muddy Dog is, but I'm guessing that may be a local roaster. Full Steam is committed to making beers as local as possible here, and they say that beer has 12% local ingredients in it. They recommend it with chocolate cake or brisket.
Oh, God.
Two kinds of different things.
Oh, chocolate brisket cake sounds so good right now.
I'll take two.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. I don't know about all that, but it's a delicious beer. Unlike the Evil Twin Even More Jesus, this beer is dark brown, but it doesn't have the same motor oily head. It's got a nice like tan colored head of foam on it. But when you pour it into the glass, it does smell of coffee, but it's not that dark, rich, like super roasty kind of coffee that you'll get in a breakfast stout or something along those lines. It is more of that lighter, smoother iced coffee. Maybe a little bit of cream in there that you'll get from, a tinge of vanilla, something like that. It's clean, which is kind of rare for some coffee beers because a lot of times they drink very heavy. I don't know what the base style is. Here we go. Iced coffee porter with cream and sugar. So it doesn't sit too heavy. It almost kind of tastes like a brown ale a bit. I really like this beer because it's 6% alcohol. You can drink several of these. You get enough coffee and cream taste where it kind of feels like you could start your day, but it's smooth enough where it could finish your day. It's a damn good beer. I think it's in the neighborhood of 10, 12 bucks a six pack, something like that. It's absolutely delicious. It's made in Durham. It's available locally, but here's the cool thing with Bottle Mix. As you could watch, if you go over to Facebook, check out the Facebook Live that Mike did with Dustin. They know their stuff and they have all the stuff. And this Saturday, if you are a dark beer aficionado and you really, really like Imperial Stouts, they have one of the best. And it's a beer that I love and Mike picked up today. They've got Epic Brewing's Big Bad Baptist. But it's not just their Big Bad Baptist, which is a barrel-aged Imperial Stout. They've got some triple barrel-aged stuff. So, I don't even know what types of barrels they're aged in. But they're going to have them on tap. They're going to have a special bottle release. They're doing all that this Saturday.
Plus, this Saturday, they're also having a special bottles available from our buddies at Prairie. Yeah.
Ooh.
The same guys who made Prairie Bomb, who is in the running for my other favorite beer. I would say three favorite beers are going to be Even More Jesus, the Prairie Bomb, and maybe the Siberian Night Imperial Russian Stout.
Yeah.
Those three are all right up there. So go out to Bottle Mix, check out Dustin. If you're not a beer guy, but you're looking for some wine for the holidays, go see Jack. Great selection of wine over there. Again, thanks to Bottle Mix for being a great sponsor of this podcast. And also on January 20th, live Cheaters Never Win at Bottle Mix. We're going to be playing Detroit that night. So come out, live podcast with us. You'll be able to ask cheat mail questions live. We'll have video coverage of all of that during the day. Special beers that are going to be on tap. Derek, should we tell them maybe some of the beers that are going to be on tap?
Yeah, that day is also, they're doing a tap takeover with Oscar Blues, who's out of Brevard, North Carolina, and also out west. And Cigar City out of Florida, and they're recently distributed in North Carolina, best known for High Life IPA, but Cigar City does a lot of awesome stuff. Oscar Blues does a lot of awesome stuff. I've heard rumor that there's going to be a keg of barrel-aged 1050 Imperial Stout from Oscar Blues.
Shut your mouth and just hold me.
Yeah, which is going to be awesome. So we're going to have 10 awesome beers on tap at Bottle Mix, so be sure to come out January 20th. Be there for the live podcast. We are going to have stickers. We're going to have koozies. We may have some other cool stuff going on that day. But it's going to be a great event. And this Saturday, if you can't make it for the all the really heavy dark beers that Bottle Mix has going on, swing by on your way to the Canes game before it's Canes social night. Before you come sit in Section 328 and make all the noise and make Sports Channel 8 feel shame down in 108, swing by Bottle Mix. Grab a six-pack of whatever you love. Come out to the lot in the grass. Make a little noise with us out there, too.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to seeing all of you out there. You guys know the pitch at the end of the podcast. Section328.com. Section_328 over on the Twitters.
Respect the underscore.
We're on Instagram. We're on Snapchat. We rarely use either one of those. We should probably get better at that.
We Instagram today. Hooray!
We're over on Facebook, facebook.com/section328. We do some fun Facebook Live stuff over there every now and then. We're trying to get a little bit better about that. But what's the best way to connect with us? It's live and in person. Come out to a Carolina Hurricanes game. Climb the stairs. Make your way over to Section 328. Come to OC. Look for the former fat guy. Look for the tall, skinny, lanky guy who looks a lot like Joey Mormina and is the most unathletic tall guy you've ever met.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I've seen Neil Fingleton play for the Tar Heels years ago. He was 7'4" and Scottish.
Played for the Tar Heels. That's all I'm saying, Derek. But come over there. Come say hi. Just come on by. Let's talk a little puck. Whether we agree or agree to disagree, we always love to chat with you guys here, because this has been our loyal hockey family. And as we come upon this, the Christmas holiday and the end of the Hanukkah holiday, and as Kwanzaa and all of the other holidays that are out there kind of come up, we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to say thank you. It has been a very, I don't use this term often, but it has been a very delightful, dare I say, blessed year. Derek's got a new child this year. The Section 328 family has continued to grow. We've been able to continue to do this podcast and a lot of other cool stuff thanks to the support of a lot of you guys. So I know we say this a lot, and it does come down from the deepest part of our hearts. We do appreciate it, and thank you so, so much. So please be nice to each other out there. Take some time to appreciate each other, appreciate your family. But before you do all of that, come out to Section 328 on December 23rd and help us F Buffalo in the A, because it's what we do best. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
This is Pat.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
We're out of here.